It's hard to believe that 20 years have passed since that day that changed our country, that day that changed our world. We are, of course, in the midst of another change brought about by the virus and by the response to it. Other changes have been occurring over the span of our lifetimes. The resurgence of Marxism in our schools and in our government. The change in our culture that once admired people of faith and then tolerated people of faith, and now more and more challenges and goes against people of faith. We are in many ways like strangers in a strange land more and more. And I fear that that will be more and more the case in the years to come. Please God, may it not be so. Our Lord takes his disciples to a strange place, and there he reveals to them some very important things. He takes them to a strange place. He takes them to Caesarea Philippi, a pagan town, a town known for its worship of the god Pan. Most of our Lord's travels took him through Palestine, his own land, into villages that were Jewish. But this time he took his disciples to a place that took them way out of their comfort zone, a place that made them very uncomfortable. And it was there that he asked them the most important question, not just who do people say that I am, but who do you say that I am? A question that he asks you and me as well. Who do you say that I am? Where do I fit in your life? How does your life revolve around me? St. Peter speaks for himself, and he speaks for the apostles, and he speaks for you and me by saying simply, you are the Christ. You are the Messiah. You are the anointed one, the one who has been prophesied down through the ages as the one who will save our people. There the Lord takes the opportunity to teach three things. First of all, he affirms St. Peter, oddly enough, by telling his disciples, tell no one about this. That's not a denial, but rather it's our Lord's way of saying, I want to be seen as a Messiah, not just by my words and my miraculous deeds, but as the one who goes to the cross, the one who must suffer and die and rise again on the third day. It is there and in that way that I want my being the Messiah to be revealed. So until then, tell no one about this. Our Lord affirms his identity as the Messiah. Second, he tells his disciples how he will be the Messiah. He will not be the one who rides into Jerusalem on a chariot with armies behind him, but rather he will be the one who reigns from the cross. He will be the suffering servant prophesied by Isaiah hundreds of years beforehand. He will be the one who will save his people through his suffering. This was very difficult for his disciples to get their minds wrapped around, and it's difficult for us as well. St. Peter is bold enough to say, God forbid. Our Lord, St. Peter rebukes our Lord, if you can imagine that. He tries to put our Lord in his place. Don't speak that way about suffering and being put to death. Our Lord says clearly, get behind me, Satan. Satan, a word that means adversary, one who opposes. Because if you oppose my cross, you oppose the very means by which I will save the world. You will oppose the very means by which your sins and the sins of all are forgiven. Our Lord affirms that he is the Messiah. He teaches that he is the Messiah who will suffer and die and rise again. And then he says, if you want to follow me, if you want to be part of this, you have to deny yourself every day and take up your cross and follow in my footsteps. You cannot simply watch the parade pass by. You are to follow me. You are to be part of this by taking up your cross, by being all in, by being willing to give your all for the sake of the kingdom. For following the Lord is not a hobby. It's not a pastime. It's not something that we do half-heartedly. But rather, following the Lord means giving our all, loving our God with all our heart and mind and soul and strength, holding nothing back, for he held nothing back in saving us. He gave his all. He gave his very body and his very precious blood so that we might have life and have it to the full. Three applications for us. The first application, penance, mortification, self-denial. The rules of the church on penance are not exactly robust. We have the opportunity to go further in penance than the laws of the church would suggest. Simply allowing Friday to be a day when we abstain from meat, it's not that difficult with all the wonderful seafood choices that we have these days. We have to do more. We have to practice self-denial. We have to intentionally do without so that we might get into the habit and that we might get into the practice of thinking less about our own needs and more about the needs of others and the importance of building up the kingdom. Athletes and soldiers deny themselves many, many things so that they can be strong and alert and ready, something that we must be during these difficult days, during this time in which we find ourselves as strangers in a strange land. Self-denial. Second, the awareness that martyrdom is part of the life of Christians. The church has distinguished between three different kinds of martyrs. The red martyrs who actually shed their blood and died for the Lord. the white martyrs, those holy men and women who have gone away from the world, into monasteries, into convents, living a life of asceticism, deep prayer for the sake of the kingdom, praying for your needs and mine. They are in many ways white martyrs, for they are giving all of their life to the Lord. And then the blue martyrs, or the green martyrs, depending on who you read. You and I can be part of this. Because growing in virtue means practicing difficult things. It doesn't mean leaving the world, but it does mean being attentive to those drives within us that get us in trouble. It takes some hard work, some self-denial, some discipline. In fact, a great deal of discipline to harness our desires so that we might point them by the grace of God to the things that are good and noble and holy and true. Each and every one who strives to grow in virtue and practices self-denial, practices discipline, is in many ways a martyr, dying to self for the sake of something greater. Penitential practices, self-denial even to the point of martyrdom, and suffering. Many suffer and carry the cross through physical pain, discomfort, through emotional struggles. For some, this can be the cause of despair. We Christians are encouraged to unite our sufferings with the sufferings of our Lord, to have a reason for our suffering. When you suffer, whether that be temporarily or part of a chronic long-term illness, make sure you use that opportunity to unite your sufferings with His, and thereby your suffering can be redemptive. Have a purpose for your suffering, a specific purpose, an intention. Dedicate the sufferings of this day for a person who needs prayer, for a group of people who are in difficult straits, for the sake of world peace, for the sake of the poor, whatever it might be in your heart, use the sufferings that are given to you, the cross that you bear, in order to participate in the good work of our Lord from the cross. You see, though we may be strangers in a strange land, we are not alone. The Lord is with us. The Lord is ahead of us to lead us. He is behind us to catch us when we fall and pick us back up again. He is beside us to encourage and to give comfort. We are never closer to the Lord than when we are with Him at the foot of the cross. When we go to the cross with Him with our suffering, with our devotion, we are at the foot of the cross in every Eucharist, every offering of the holy sacrifice of the Mass. We are with Him as He gives His all, His very body and blood, for us to eat and drink, so that we might be strengthened by His grace and by His living presence. We may be strangers in a strange land, but we are not alone. May we draw nearer to the Lord each and every day with our prayer, our devotion, and and our participation in the sacraments of the Church.